Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is Elder G. Bizarre coming to you from no other than Warren, Ohio. And I'm going on down there in Atlanta, Georgia on Block Talk Radio. I come in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that is, the one that was, and the one that is to come. This is Watching on the Wall, End Time Global Link Ministry. We're coming to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a pleasure to be with you this evening. Amen. And we're going to talk about nobody else but Jesus Christ, for he is coming back again with all the signs and wonders that's going around the world 24/7, 365 times a year, 52 weeks in a year. Minutes and seconds is passing by every day we're getting a little closer and a little closer and a little closer. So and if we're getting a little closer, then I got to talk about it. I got to tell you and let you know, prepare your soul. Prepare your soul, your S-O-U-L. Jesus Christ is soon to split the sky. He's coming back to get the church. He's coming back to get the born-again believers. Nothing but the born-again believers has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ said, up on this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he's going to build it out of his blood. He's going to build it out of his crucifixion. He's going to build it out of his hanging on the cross for 6 long hours, dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder, gave up the ghost, went down into the bowels of hell, preached to those in prison, ascended on high. 3 days later, he was out of the grave. That's what he's going to build it on. He's not going to build it out of sand and cement and wood. That's a place of worship. Amen. The church is not the building. Please. The church is not the building. The church is you, born-again believers, repented of their sins, turned from their wicked ways, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It said, thou shalt be saved, not safe. You're not on the test. You're not on the test tube. Amen. You must be born again. Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, and Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus came back and said, Lord, what do I have to do? Go back into my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, no. What's born of flesh is flesh, and what's born of spirit is spirit. Ye must be born again. So this is first birth that the humanity was born of the flesh. Amen. But the second birth, it must be the spirit. Ye must be born again. A lot of people can't understand that. The new birth in Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, there's no birth. Without Christ coming down to this earth, 2,000 years ago, suffered and died. The cruelest death you can die is the way they did Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, God's Son, God in the flesh, manifested in the flesh. Seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, received up into glory 2,000 years ago. He's been gone 2 days. 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. So he's been gone about 2 days. 2 days, Jesus Christ has been gone. But in our time, it's 2,000 years. In God's time, it's 2 days. In biblical dispensation, every 2,000 years, something happens. Something happens every 1,000 years. According to Bible dispensation, from Adam all the way down to Abraham. Who's Abraham? Abraham was the father of the nation of Israel and the father of Ishmaelites. He's the father of the Jewish race. Every 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years. From Abraham to the birth of Jesus Christ, the son of David, 2,000 years.
Woo! That's awesome. And from the birth of Jesus Christ to the second coming is 2,000 years. We got exactly almost 8 more years before 2030. We got about 8 more years between 2030 will be concluded. We're at the last generation on the planet. This is the last generation. This is the generation in which Jesus Christ will return. I don't know what day. I'm not worried about what day or what hour or what month. But this is the last generation. But I can tell you this. He's coming before and at the end and the close of this last generation, which consists of 80 years. 80 years is one generation. From 70 to 80 years is a generation. I've been here almost a generation. I've seen a generation come. I've seen a generation pass. And I'm going to see a generation come to a close. Well, this generation is what Jesus Christ was telling the disciples when he said, when you shall see the fig leaf budding, Lord have mercy. He said, when you shall see the fig leaf budding, you know that the time is nigh. What is the fig leaf? What is the fig tree? The fig tree represents Israel. I said the fig tree represents Israel. Israel birth was 1948, May the 14th, 1948. Israel became a nation for over the period of 2,600 years. She was without land. She was without a temple. She was without anything. She was scattered all over the face of the earth until 1948. When 1948 came, that was the beginning of the last generation, because this is the generation in which Christ was saying that he would come in. And he said, before this generation is over, judgment will come upon this earth. Judgment is coming upon this earth. 1948, from 1948 to 2021, May the 14th, that would be next month, May the 14th, Israel will celebrate 73 years that Israel has been a nation since 1948. And since 1948, in that period of time, Jesus said that his nation would be gathered back into the land. And they start gathering in 1948 until the day. And Jews are in the land. They're coming back from Russia. They're coming back from Africa. They're coming back from Eastern and Western Europe. They're coming back from South America. They're coming back from North America, which is America itself. They're all gathering back into the land. Today, the Jews are in the land. Today, the Jews are regathering. Today, they're preparing to meet their Messiah, the Messiah. And this Messiah that's coming before Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, a false Messiah will come. A false Messiah is called the Antichrist in the Word of God. He's called the Antichrist because he's anti-God. In the Bible, the Epistle of St. John quotes, he said the Antichrist is here, and there's Antichrist is. Antichrist is any person that tried to exert authority over Jesus Christ or try to take the place of Jesus Christ. And this man that's coming on the scene, he's alive today. He's in Western Europe. He's preparing to come on the scene
Why? Because now is the time that the world is in a chaotic condition and nobody's going to bring them out. But when the Antichrist comes, he's going to give the world a false peace hope. He's going to tell them that that he is Jesus Christ. And since nobody can find a world leader, they're looking for a leader to come and try to straighten out this world. And it's going to fail because Satan is behind it. And the Bible tells me Satan wants to conquer this generation. He wants to rule the world. He wants to rule the world. He wants to rule people's lives. He wants to destroy, kill, rob, and destroy. And he's going to have an opportunity because just before this Antichrist comes, there's some Bible prophecy that has to be fulfilled. And that is the Jews. Number one, the Jews have to be back into their land before the Antichrist comes. They got to be back in their land, and they are in their land. And there are black Jews coming from Ethiopia. There are black Jews coming from different parts of the world, which is the lost 10 tribe of Israel. And they are coming back into the land. And by them coming back in the land, God is getting ready for the Jewish nations to reunite and prepare for this false Messiah that he is coming back to try to fool the world in believing. Now listen to what Satan is playing. Satan is playing in this. Satan is going to be the father of the Antichrist. The devil is the father. The Antichrist is the son. And the false prophet represents the Holy Spirit. Satan is nothing but a copycat, copying from God's divine plan that he has for the world, for people to receive his son through Jesus Christ. It's the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all three are one. They are co-equal. Jesus Christ said, I and the Father are one. Jesus said, he was saying that, I am God in the flesh. He didn't say it like that. But when he said, I and the Father are one, that means one God. If you want to get to God, you've got to come by Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is God Almighty. I said Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh. He was God in man. Get that now. He was God in man. He is the everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God, and there is no other God before him. There won't be no other God after him. The only gods we are dealing with now is fallen angels and Lucifer and his demons. They are considering themselves to try to be like God, and they cannot be successful because they are fallen angels. They are demonic demons. They are devils, and they are the prince power of the air. You say, well, where is the devil now? Let's talk about this devil and what he's getting ready to do to this planet. He's getting ready to take control of the human race for 7 years. 7 years, the devil, Lucifer, will take control of the human race. He will rule the world. Within 7 years, that's all he's going to get. He ain't going to get no more than that because he's going down the tube. He's getting ready to go down the tube. He's getting ready to be eliminated. But God has a plan to give man a choice. God has given man a divine choice. And that divine choice is that God going to give man an opportunity to choose. Choose in whom he will serve. For 6,000 years, God has dealt with man and tried to convince man that he is God and there is nobody else other than he is. He is the only God. He is the only creator. He is the only maker. He is the only divine. And yet still he became human. When he became human, he gave himself a name that At the name of Jesus, every knee gonna bow, every tongue is gonna confess. Amen, amen. Israel is going to bring in the seventh week spoken by Daniel the prophet. The 7-year tribulation is at our doorstep. The 7-year tribulation is at our doorstep. We are getting ready to enter the 7-year tribulation. We haven't entered it yet. We ain't got that yet. But we're almost in it because of the signs and the times of the world that we're living in. The world is gone mad. The world is sinful. The world lies in wickedness. The world has been deceived by the devil. The world is in a place right now where people are not even concerned about the second coming of Jesus Christ. People don't want him to come back here. The devil don't want him to come back here. He's trying to hinder from Jesus coming back. But he lost the battle a long time ago. The victory belongs to Jesus Christ and the church that has been bought with a price. There's no victory in Mohammed. There's no victory in the Baptist denomination. There's no victory in the Presbyterian. There's no victory in no denomination. There's no victory in no occults. There's no victory in money. There's no victory in women. There's no victory in lying and cheating and backbiting and whoremongering. There's no victory in it. You're lost. You're lost. You need Jesus Christ. The only victory that we can have for our souls is Jesus Christ, because it took his shed blood on Calvary's cross to save us for those that want to be saved. And if you don't receive Christ in your life before you die, I'll say that again. If you don't receive Jesus Christ in your life before you die, if you die unrepentant of your sins, if you die without having a change through Jesus Christ, if you die without having the Holy Ghost in you, sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. Listen to me. If you die without Christ in your life, I'll guarantee you by the scriptures and the word and what the word of God says, you will lift up your eyes in hell. You're going to hell without being born again. You're going to hell without being redeemed. You're going to hell without being sanctified. You're going to hell without being justified. You're going to hell if you don't receive Christ as your personal Savior and confess him with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. We are living in the last days. The Jews are back into the land just like the book of Ezekiel said it would be. The 37th chapter of Ezekiel, where Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel to go down in the valley of the dry bones and preach to those dry bones and see if they can live. And Ezekiel said, Lord, I know these bones can live as your will. And Ezekiel prophesied to the bones and said, oh, ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. And Ezekiel began to prophesy. And he was prophesying way back yonder in B.C., in Babylon. They tell me he continued to prophesy all the way up to 1948. Because when 1948 comes, the Jews begin to come back to Israel. They begin to come back to the land, because now was the time of the last generation. Because Jesus Christ said, when you see my people budding, when you see the fig leaf coming back, when you see Israel reuniting, when you see the day that in May the 14th, 1948, the nation of Israel became, the nation of Israel became a nation. 1948, for the first time over the period of 2,600 years. 2,600 years they were without a nation. They didn't have no strength. These dry bones were brittle because they had been cut off from God. They had been rebellious, and God scattered them all over the face of the earth. They almost lost their identity. But God told Ezekiel to go down in the valley of the dry bones and preach to the dry bones. And Ezekiel said, "Oh, ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord." And to tell me, when Ezekiel began to preach to the dry bones, they began to shake, they began to rattle, and they began to roll. And to tell me, they were dry, and they were brittle, and they were dissipating, and they seemed like they had almost been annihilated. But when the word of God came to the valley of the dry bones, and the Spirit of God began to cause the bones to shake, they began to cause the bones to rattle, and they began to roll. And when they began to shake, rattle, and roll, they tell me the bones begin to join together. And when they start joining together, this represents Israel coming back into existence. And when it came back into existence, they were fulfilled in 1948. They became a nation for the first time and over the period of 2,600 years. And when they became the nation over the period of 2,600 years, it was President Harry S. Truman that wrote a declaration to the Jewish nation and wrote it to the United States of the UN and told the UN, the Jews, listen to me now, listen to what I got to say. The Jews have a right to become a nation in 1948. And when they became a nation in 1948, America was the only nation that backed the Jewish people up. And since that time, America has been blessed. America has been the most powerful nation upon the face of the earth. Yes, indeed. And to tell me, this nation that I'm talking about right now, nation that God called, and when God called this nation to tell them that they had come from this distance and came from this angle, they tell me since 1948, good God Almighty, until 2021, the nation of Israel is a nation right now for 73 years. And they tell me the Israelites and the Jewish people are flourishing. And they tell me the Jews are getting ready. They're getting ready, my friends. The Jewish nations are getting ready to do what? They are getting ready for the period of 73 years. They have been a nation in the land of Israel. They have regained their land. And right now, the Arab countries are fighting against the Jewish nation, trying to destroy them and drive them off the face of the earth. They're trying to get rid of the Jewish people. But I got news for the devil. I got news for those that's anti-Semitism. God said, I'm going to restore my people back into the land. And when I restore them back in the land, they're going to know I'm soon to come. Jesus Christ is soon to come. But he cannot come until the Antichrist comes first. Christ cannot come until the Antichrist comes first. And the Antichrist cannot come, or the false prophet, the Antichrist cannot come until the body of Christ is excommunicated. What I mean by that? Until the rapture occurs. The rapture is soon to occur. The rapture is soon to occur up on the scene. The rapture is going to come, and it's soon to come, because the Antichrist cannot come until the body of the born-again baptized believer that have been saved by the grace of God, washed in his blood, and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on Calvary's cross, got up on the third day morning with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And the Jews are in the land. And guess what they're doing? They're getting ready. They're getting ready for the Temple Mount. They're getting ready to rebuild the temple. They're getting ready for the red heifer. They're getting ready to get the priests and offerings together. They're getting ready for the menorah. They're getting ready for the Ark of the Covenant, which is going to be reestablished in the temple. And when they get that ready, which they are doing it right now, my friends, listen to me. This is serious. This is serious. This is serious for those that don't know Jesus Christ. Because the only ones that's going to be left here after the rapture of the church, the only ones that are going to be left here is all those that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I'm not talking about church going. I'm not talking about doing good deeds. I'm not talking about what your mama was a Baptist or she was a, I'm not talking about that. This is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you want to go to heaven, if you want to see Jesus, if you want to live with him, you must be born again. And now we're living in that time where the rapture of the church is soon to take place. It's going to take place in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And Israel right now is under attack by at least six different nations. They're shooting rockets over there in Israel, in Tel Aviv, and in the Gaza Strip. They're trying to start something up. But if they keep on bombing, they keep on messing with the Jews and bombing them, Israel is going to put something on them that will cause the nations of the world to fight against the Jewish people and try to eliminate every Jew on the planet. But whenever you mess with the Jewish people, whenever you mess with the Jewish people, you are messing with your life, because the Jewish people are going to be restored. They're going to be restored, what? By God himself. God is going to restore the Jewish people, and he's going to deal with them the last 7 years of the tribulation period. And he cannot deal with the Jewish people until the body of Christ is removed. And after the body of Christ is removed, God is going to bring Jews back into the relationship to do the last 7 years of preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's going to deal with the Jewish people in the last part. During the time of the tribulation period that's called the 70th week, spoken by Daniel the prophet. So all the news media that you're hearing on news about Israel, because the hottest spot right now on the planet, the hottest spot on the planet right now is Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Jerusalem is the place in which Christ will return. Christ is coming back to Jerusalem, and he's going to rule and reign in Jerusalem. But first, the Jews have to preach the gospel. Uh-oh. The Jews are going to have to preach the gospel in the last 7 years, called the tribulation period of the 70th week, spoken by Daniel the prophet. The church, listen to me now, the church, born again believers, sanctified ones, redeemed by the blood, will be gone. We are going to leave planet Earth pretty soon. Sooner than I think he is, sooner than you think he is. Woo! The world is getting ready for the biggest surprise, a surprise that will shock the world from the pits of hell to the glory of God. Is going to shock the world when born-again believers will be missing from this planet Earth, and God is going to restore the Jews back into the olive tree. In the last 7 years, the Jews are going to preach the gospel over internet, over Instagram, over the YouTube, over Facebook. He's going to preach it from the Jewish, from Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the capital of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born there. Jesus Christ was raised there. Jesus Christ did miracles there. Jesus Christ died and suffered on Calvary's cross there. Jesus Christ got up out the grave there. Woo! Jesus Christ is coming back to his hometown. and see Nazareth. He's going to live in Jerusalem during the millennium reign, where Jesus Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years, and Satan will be put into the bottomless pit, and he will stay there for 1,000 years, and God is going to replenish the earth with a repopulation for the last time. Oh, I hope you can understand this. So what you going to do? After the church get through, and we are living in the last church age. We're living in the Laodicean church age. We're living in the humanist church age. We're living in the church that neither hot nor cold. They're lukewarm. In other words, it's a hypocritical church. And it's a church that have a form of godliness, but it ain't got no power. People are not on fire today in this church. Amen. And there's been 7 church ages that have came and went. And out of all the 7 churches, only two that Christ was pleased with. And that is the church of Smyrna, which means the suffering church, and the church of Philadelphia, which is the evangelist church. And now the world is getting ready for the greatest evangelist outpouring of God's Spirit. And the only people who are going to finish it up is the Jewish people. Because after the rapture of the church age will be over. That's the end of the church age. The Laodicean church age is the last church age. And this church age that we're living in now, amen, those that's in this year's church, lukewarm and neither hot or cold, there's a few in there that God is going to bring them out. He's going to bring some out of the Philadelphia church. He's going to bring some out of the Sardis church. He's going to bring some out of the Thyatira church. He's going to bring some out of the Pergamos church. He's going to bring some out of the Samaritan church. He's going to bring some out of the Ephesian church. So these churches, there's somebody saved in all these churches. God is going to rapture them up at the end of the church age. And then there won't be nobody on this earth to preach the gospel, but God said, I've got some people that's going to do the last ministry up on the planet before I come. And guess who God is going to use? God is going to use the Jewish nation. He's going to use the Hebrew nation. He's going to use the nation that came from Abraham and use the nation that came from Jacob and Isaac. He's going to use the 12 tribe of Israel. He's going to use Moses and Elijah according to the scriptures in the book of Revelation. After the rapture of the church was not seen. The church is not seen. Oh, my God, the church will not be seen. The church will not be seen again. Until the second coming of Jesus Christ. I hope you can understand that, because the church is going to be raptured into heaven. They are going to the judgment seat of Bema seat. When I get my new body in a moment of the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be raptured up before the presence of God, and all those that have been born again, washed in his blood, all over the world, there's somebody in every continent that knows Jesus Christ. Well, he's going to rapture every individual that's been born again, sanctified by his Spirit. He's going to rapture them up and say there won't be nobody on this earth that knows anything about salvation until the 144,000 is going to come from the 12 tribe of Israel. What do you find that at, preacher? You better get some scripture, preacher, so somebody can see what I'm trying to talk about. Amen, amen, amen. God's going to do something. God loves this world, and he's going to make sure that the whole world hears the gospel. In the last 7 years, the whole world is going to hear the gospel. And Jesus Christ said the end will not come until the gospel is preached to all the world, every crook and cranny, from Africa all the way down in New Zealand and all the way down in Australia, all the way down in South and North America, all the way up into Canada, North and South Pole, all the way in the East and Western Europe, all the way into the Middle East, always into China and across the Euphrates River, always into India and the Sinai Desert. The gospel is going to be preached by Israel, the Jewish nation. And this is what John wrote in the 7th chapter. After the rapture of the church, There won't be nobody here to preach the gospel. There won't be no mega churches. There won't be no programs. It'll be the Jewish nation will take the 7-year tribulation and finish it up, because God said, I promise that I would deal with the Jewish people for 490 years. And God said, I won't tell you something. I cut the Jews off, because when he was crucified, the Lord God Almighty cut the Jewish off short of 7 years. So he only dealt with them for 483 years. And he dealt with them for 483 years from 440 BC all the way up to 32 AD, when Jesus Christ come riding through Jerusalem on the coat of an ass. And after he had rode on the coat of an ass, I tell me, a few days later, they wanted to crucify him and hang him on a tree. And when they hung him on the tree, God said, well, I'm going to cut the Jews off, and I won't see them. Excuse me. Ooh. Excuse me, my throat got dry. God won't deal with the Jews until the end of the church age, when the church is raptured up. Then God gonna go back to the Jews and finish up the 7 years to make it 490 years fully completed. Then he's gonna deal with the Jew. And then dealing with the Jew, after the rapture, the church is taken out from the planet, there won't be nobody here to spread the gospel. So God said, I've got the Israelites, I got the Jewish people, I got the Hebrew race, the race that had its beginning with God, all the way down across 6,000 years. And 6,000 years is almost up, so he's going to deal with the Jews for the last 7 years. And he said, after the body of Christ is gone, that beautiful bride of Jesus Christ leaves the earth, then somebody is going to have to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the 7th chapter, John the Revelator began to write down at the 7th chapter, and he wrote 22 chapters, but this is one chapter that the introduction of the 144,000. And John said, I saw after these things an angel standing on the four corners of the earth and the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth nor sea nor on any tree. And then I heard another angel said, don't do no damage right now. Don't bring judgment on them upon the world today, right now. Don't bring judgment yet, because I've got to do something before I bring judgment upon the earth. And in the second verse it says, and I saw another angel as ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. And the angel said, don't do nothing yet until I seal. Until I seal the 144,000 with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God, until I seal them by the blood of Jesus Christ, because these 144,000 Jews are going to preach the gospel for 3.5 years. They're going to preach 1,260 days. They're going to preach for 42 months. They're going to preach it for the times and times and dividing the times in the first part of the tribulation period. And the angel says, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the tree, until I have sealed the servant of the God in their forehead. And he said, now I'm going to seal them. And when he sealed them, he said, I'm going to make a censor call. I'm going to call them off and see how many I got. And he said, I heard the number. Ooh, yes, I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. These are Jews. These are the blessed Jews that the Lord God said, I'm going to give them 7 years to preach the gospel, but the first 3.5 years will be in the hands of the 144,000, and the last 3.5 years will be in the hand of the true witnesses, and that will be Moses and Elijah. Elijah. They're going to preach the gospel in the last 3.5 years. Oh, yes, they are. They're going to preach for 3.5 years. And 144,000 going to preach for 3.5 years. And if you can count, you can go 3.5. And 3.5 equals 7 years that the Jews are going to take control to preach the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they're going to preach that he is the Messiah and that he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. He's coming back to restore the kingdom of Israel. He's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom in which they tell me Jesus Christ will rule out of Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And then they tell me I need a roll call. And old John said, I saw the tribe of Judah, and that was sealed 12,000, the tribe of Reuben, 12,000, the tribe of Gad, 12,000, the tribe of Asher, 12,000, the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000, the tribe of Manasseh, was 12,000, the tribe of Simeon, was 12,000, the tribe of Levi was 12,000. The tribe of Issachar was still 12,000. The tribe of Zebulun is still 12,000. The tribe of Joseph was 12,000. The tribe of Benjamin was 12,000. Yeah. You talking about a gospel train. This gospel train with 144,000. And I'm here to tell you, it's not Jehovah Witness. No. It's not the Baptist, no, it's not the Presbyterian, no, it's not the Church of God in Christ, no, it's not the Pentecostal Church, no, it's not no man, it's not no organization that have an earthly mission. It will be 144,000 of Jews that will be preaching the gospel for 1,260 days, and they tell me they preach, good God Almighty, they preach on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday. They preach in January, February, March and April. They preach in May, June, July, August, September, October, November. They did that for 3.5 years. Every day, every hour, every minute, they will be evangelizing the whole world. Yeah. God is going to let them know that these are my people, and I'm going to give them the opportunity to fulfill their ministry, and their ministry will be consisted of 7 years. They're going to preach in the morning, and they're going to be instant, and there ain't going to be no there's not going to be no collection. There's not going to be nobody taking control of these 144,000, because God's going to be in control with these men. And they're virgins, and they're the choice vine of Israel, and they're going to let Israel know that this Antichrist is coming, that will be here at the same time. They will be, this is not the Christ. This is the false Messiah. This is Satan's masterpiece. This is Satan's false liar. This is Satan trying to deceive the Jewish nation, but the 144,000 is going to counteract that. Whoa, yes they are. Let me tell you, the world is going to see it on the internet. They're going to see it on Instagram. They're going to see it around the world. Yes they are. You talking about preaching. You talking about redeeming. You talking about the gospel will be preaching. The Holy Spirit will be saving folks. Yes indeed. Because the world is going to have the greatest revival that ever hit this planet. Yeah, yes, indeed. And they tell me this revival, you're going to be saved in your home. You're going to be saved on the street. You're going to be saved in the beer joint. You can be saved anywhere you hear this gospel if you call on the name of Jesus Christ, because it don't have no limit and it don't have no bound. Every individual will be able to win the gospel. And then after the 3.5 years over, they tell me the people that got saved during the tribulation period of the first 3.5 years, John recognized that after the rapture of the church was gone and there was nobody had received salvation. But after the 3.5 years was over, they tell me, he said, wait a minute. He said, wait a minute. He said, I got to ask you a question. And he said, after this, I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and all kindreds and all people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hand. These are the ones that heard the gospel during the time of the tribulation period of the preaching of the 144,000. You talk about salvation belongs to the Lord. And these are the people that heard the Jews. Good God Almighty, I would consider it as being 144,000 Apostle Pauls preaching the gospel. I could consider them of being the disciples, 144,000 disciples preaching the gospel, because them men preached the gospel and nothing but the gospel. And they didn't change nobody's name to protect the innocent. They tell me he told it just like it was. Even repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And he said, whoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and whoever believeth not shall be damned. And if you reject the ministry and the calling of the 144,000, and you refuse salvation that was going to be preached by the Jewish nation, and they tell me if you reject it, then and you die without Jesus Christ in your life, if you die without Christ, you're going to bust hell wide open. But Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall never perish, but have everlasting. Whosoever come before him. Listen to what I'm saying. The 144,000 take control of the media. They take control of the news media. There ain't going to be nothing holding back. Nobody ain't going to be able to stop them from preaching the gospel, because God's going to open up the internet. He's going to open up the YouTube. He's going to open up the iPod. He's going to open up the Facebook. He's going to open up everybody that has a Facebook, everybody that has some kind of a communication center, a communication instrument, and they're going to hear the gospel. They're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ through the internet. They're going to see it on the big screen TV set. It's going to turn the world upside down. Listen to what it says in the 10th verse. Listen to what it says. It says, and after this, lo, I saw a great multitude that no man can number. These are called the tribulation saints. These are the saints that heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and received him in remission of their sins. And they got saved during the first 3.5 years. And they're going to have to go through the great tribulation, because going through the great tribulation, many will lose their lives, because they are going to continue, amen, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The 144,000 will be redeemed from the earth, and they're going to redeem back into heaven. And the great multitude are going to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and go through the great trial and tribulation of the great tribulation. And that's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Listen to what he said in the 10th verse. And he said, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation. Wow. Salvation can only come by Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I said? I'm going to slow down on that. I got to come with this scripture. I'm going to give you, amen, to let you know there ain't nobody else to save you but Jesus Christ. Buddha can't save you. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now. I'm going to tell you something right now. This is what cannot save you. Amen. Jesus Christ is the only one can save you from your sin, save your soul from sin. These 144,000 will be special anointed. Nobody will be able to harm them. They, ooh, my God, you don't have to worry about trying to feed them. Ooh, they're never going to get tired. They're going to continue to preach this gospel. For 3.5 years, the world is going to hear the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, that he is the Jewish Messiah, and that he's coming back to this earth at the end of the tribulation period. Amen. And he's going to set up his millennial kingdom. And let me tell you, this is what can't save you. Now, this is what cannot save you. But first, I'm going to see what Hebrews. I'm going to see what Hebrews said about this salvation that I'm talking about, this salvation that men today are rejecting. They're rejecting the salvation that Jesus Christ suffered and died on Calvary's cross, gave his life up, went down into the grave, came up on the third day with all power in heaven and earth in his hand, and now he's coming back to get a church without a spot or a wrinkle. In the book of Hebrews, amen. Listen to what it says. It says in the second chapter of Hebrews, amen. It says, therefore we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angel was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reap of reward. The third verse says, how shall we escape? Huh? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How can you escape the damnations of hell if you neglect the salvation which is brought by Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross? In other words, he took your place on Calvary. He took your sins and my sin. He was nailed to a piece of wood, and they hung him high, and they stretched him wide, and they tell me he hung on there for 6 long hours from 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they tell me they hung him until hell had convulsions. They hung him until the moon turned red like blood, like high blood pressure. They killed him until the moon got embarrassed and the sun refused to shine. They killed him and they nailed him until hell had a convulsion. And they tell me when they found out that the Son of God had been slain, Satan said, now I got control of the human soul. I can damn every soul in the world because I'm going to try to hold him in the grave. And if I can hold him in the grave, salvation cannot be brought forth. But they tell me, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? But one thing about it, the devil was defeated at the cross for good. Yes, he was, because Jesus, not Mohammed, no, not Jehovah's Witness, came back from the grave. No witchcraft came back from the grave. No Buddhism came back from the grave. No Taoism came back from the grave. Islam did not come back from the grave. Judaism did not come back from the grave. Paganism did not come back from the grave. Hinduism did not come back from the grave. Schismism did not come back from the grave. Scientology didn't come back from the grave. Voodoo didn't come back from the grave. Satan didn't come back from the grave. Circleism didn't come back from the grave. Mormonism didn't come back from the grave. What I'm trying to tell you, no denomination had anybody to come back from the grave. No cults didn't have nobody come back from the grave. Islam didn't have nobody. The Baptist didn't have nobody. The Presbyterian didn't have nobody to come back from the grave with all power in heaven and earth. No man came back from the grave, but the God man came back, and that was God in the flesh. Wow, good God Almighty. He came back on his own power, resurrected from the dead, ascended into heaven, and now he's getting ready to come back again. But before he come back, he said, I got to get the gospel out because the church didn't do a complete job. The church didn't witness to people. The church was so wrapped up in themselves, and the preachers didn't preach it right. Some didn't preach it right, and the majority of the minister today is not preaching save Jesus and him crucified, and without salvation through Jesus Christ, your soul is the only way to hell. And now I've got to send 144,000 Jews because the church will not be here on earth, and they're going to preach for 3.5 years, and they're going to tell the world. And the world is going to hear it. And when the world gets through hearing, John said, I saw a number that no man could number, as many as the sands of the sea. And I asked a question. John said, I asked him a question. Where did these come from? And who are they? Well, like I told you before, these are the tribulation saints. These are the saints of God that got converted during the tribulation period. These are the people that heard 144,000 preach the gospel, and they received Christ, and now they're going to have to go through the great tribulation, which is called time of Jacob's trouble. And then John said, look what I saw. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces and worship God. Oh, yes, they worship God. These tribulation saints worshiping God, worshiping God. What is the world doing today? They're not worshiping God. They're worshiping idols. They're worshiping homosexuality. They're worshiping in adultery. They're worshiping baby killing. They're worshiping everything but God. Everything but God. They're worshiping themselves. They're worshiping their money. They're worshiping their prestige. They're worshiping their education. They're worshiping everything but God. They won't bow down to God. But the Bible says that the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow. Every dirty knee, every crooked knee, every blind knee, every black knee, every white knee, every rusty knee, every broken knee is going to bow down to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they're going to confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And every crooked tongue and every dirty tongue, every lying tongue, every short tongue, every long tongue, every backbiting tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. You better get ready because it shows you're born. If you get left here after the rapture, you better pray. You better hope that you'll be able to understand what's going on. And when you hear the 144,000 Jews start off in Israel and preach the gospel of the kingdom, when you hear them preaching, you better listen and you better head for the hill because they tell me the city is going to be a hellhole. The city is going to be a rampage. The city is going to be corrupt and abomination. And they tell me if you don't run and get out of the city, you won't be able to survive. And the Bible tells me one of the elders said, the four beasts fell down amongst the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, 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 blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Yeah, these are the tribulations standing before the throne of God, giving them praise. And then the 13th verse says, one of the elders asked him, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence did they come? And he said unto me, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood. In the blood, in the blood, in the blood of the Lamb. You know what I say that? I told my boy, sir, that the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Name me another man. Name me another deity that hung on the cross like Jesus did and went down in the grave like Jesus did. Name me a man on the planet. Name me a man. Find him somewhere. If you can find him, will you bring him to me other than the name of Jesus Christ? Because at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Because we ain't going to escape the wrath of God until we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Some people say, well, I'm going to heaven because I'm good. I'm going to heaven because I did good works. All your good works ain't going to get you to heaven. Your mama, your daddy, your sister, your education ain't going to get you to heaven. You got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the Lamb is the blood, the Lamb is the only one that was slain on Calvary's cross. Ain't no other cross. And the devil got people believing that you can go to heaven on other religions and other deities and other cults. And worshiping the devil, people worshiping the devil think they're going to heaven. You can't go to heaven worshiping the devil. You got to worship God. And the only way you can worship God is through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to repent of your sins and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And don't get fooled now. There's only one Baptist. Jesus Christ told his disciples to go out to all the world and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's the whole Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And in Jesus was the whole Godhead bodily. Going down in the name of Jesus, going down in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the same baptism. Because you're representing that Jesus Christ died. God didn't die. Jesus died. In the flesh he died. You can't kill God. You can't torture God. You can't deny God and go to hell. And the world today is denying the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the ultimate way, only way that a man can enter the kingdom of God, because it's the blood of Jesus Christ and only the blood of Jesus Christ that can wash your sins away, because there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the devil can't handle the blood of Christ. He cannot handle it. That's why the world today, Satan got the world today rejecting the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They're making fun of it. They're blaspheming the name of Christ. They're blaspheming God. They're telling God to take your Christ, take your suffering, take it, everything, and, you know, shove it. I don't want it. I don't need it. I'm worshiping the devil. And the world is worshiping the devil more than they're worshiping God these days. They're worshiping the devil. Everything you see on this crazy TV set is earthly. All this stuff that's coming on TV set don't come from heaven. It comes from hell. And hell is opening up herself. And the Bible says hell has enlarged herself. And let me tell you something, and it's in the Bible. Hell is going to be full. It's going to be full of unregenerated people who rejected Christ. People say, you go to hell if you drink. You go to hell if this. You go to hell for this. You go to hell for that. No, no, no. You're going to hell because you reject Jesus Christ. You're going to hell because you reject Jesus Christ. You refuse to let your soul be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You rebuke the cross. You deny the cross. You went on and did all your dirty stuff. You actually spit. You spit in God's face. And God says, I love you. Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. And the world today is spitting in God's face. The world don't love God. The world hates God. Satan hates God. And people want to know what's going on. Why did all this stuff happen? And all these killers and murder. Why is people not forsaking the Lord God Almighty? But people perish because of lack of knowledge. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin and the reproach to the end of people. And the reproach of sin is coming up on America. Murders have been eaten up by sin. People are killing babies and aborting babies, and men are taking young girls and raping them and using child pornography and homosexuality to roam in the street, men with men and women with women. And they tell me homosexual is taking over our society and destroying our families. And men are having babies and don't want to take care of them. And you want to know why the world is going on like this. Why? Because men. Women and people who have the responsibility of knowing right from wrong is trying to defeat the cross, but they are losing. And guess what? If you don't receive Christ, you're going to have to pay. Listen to me. You're going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay for your own sins. Now, if that's what happens when you reject Christ. You have to pay for your own sin. You know, you don't work. You don't work. You don't sin against God. You've done all kinds of sin. You don't work for it. Now, if you don't let Jesus Christ pay for your sins, because he became sin, and if you don't give your sins and your unbelief to
the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you die, you're going to have to pay for your own sins. That's only fair. I can't pay for you. Mama can't pay for you. No. The denomination can't pay. No, Jesus Christ is the only one that paid for your sins. He was the only one that got up out the grave all by himself. He's the only one that had the power enough to lay down his life and then pick it up again. He did that all for me. He did that all for you. You can't strut around here in sin and lying and cheating and backbiting and whoremongering and gambling and all that old stuff that caused you to be separated from God. You got to give your sins to Christ and let him save you. Let him come into your life. That's what I'm talking about. You got to confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead by the power of God. You got to confess it and let the world know. You got to let your mama know, your daddy know, your sister know, your uncle know, your enemy know. Let your dog and cat know. Look, I'm a saint. Christ saved my soul. He paid for my sins. Full. There's no going back. He sealed me with the Spirit unto the day of redemption. I've been bought with a price. The devil can't get me back. I can't run out of my salvation. I can't give my salvation back to God. God is not an enemy of giver. He ain't going to take it back because he already paid for it. People think because they are pretty. Some people think because they got a whole lot of money, God is pleased. But God is angry at the wicked every day. God is angry at the wicked every day. And if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, the whole world would have been slaughtered a long time ago. Because God hates sin. It detested him. He cannot approach a sinful God, a sinful, a holy God, a sinful man cannot approach a holy God. God is holy, so holy that the moon and the stars and the elements are impure to his sight. He's so holy, no sinful man can approach him. And the only thing that can cleanse his soul and make him pure is the blood of Christ. So powerful that it's powerful thing on the planet. You can take all the bombs, all the nuclear rockets, and all the TNT, and all the biological warfare, and put it in the universe, and set a fuse to it, and let it blow up. Could it save anybody? No. But you can take the blood of Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's cross, and let one drop through the Holy Spirit come into your life, and it'll blow sin to smithereens. He'll cleanse your soul and make you whiter than snow that you can approach a holy God through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. You cannot approach a holy God without the shed blood. The Holy Spirit in you. Can't approach him. You can't live with him. You can't even talk to him because, number one, ain't no talking. When the great white throne, the end of time come, and after the millennium reign, and God will raise all the wicked dead. He will raise all the wicked dead from their graves, and they will stand in the middle of his universe. And all the wicked dead will be judged of the things that's written in the book. When those wicked people stand before God, they ain't going to have one word to say. They ain't going to have nothing to say. They ain't going to be able to even lift their heads up. Because everything that you could have did, you didn't do it. And the Bible said, and they shall be cast into a lake of fire that burn with brimstone. And buddy, it's hot down there. I don't
don't care if you look like Jezebel. I don't care if you look like the most beautiful woman that ever lived or the most handsome man that ever lived or the most so self-righteous. I don't care. You're not going to be able to see God. The Bible said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And you cannot have a pure heart without Jesus Christ. You cannot approach Jesus Christ in his body just like you is now. People say they have seen Jesus out of their body. Some people say they have went to hell and came back. Some say they went to heaven and came back. I don't know nothing about that. It's possible. It's possible. But I don't have to go to heaven now to know there's a heaven. I don't have to go to hell to know there's a hell. I know there's a hell. I ain't never been there, but I know it is because the Bible said it is. And if the Bible said it is, there's a hell. There's a heaven. Jesus Christ spoke more about hell than he did heaven. Because he don't want nobody to go there. He warned all through the Old and New Testament. Examples of hell was given in the Old Testament. Sodom and Gomorrah caught a fire. Lot's wife turned back and looked because she thought she had left something there. That's an example of hell. Volcanoes are growing up around the world today. That's an example of hell. So you don't like to, the rich man fought from hell. Now that one man did not have the love of God in his heart. He didn't have the love of God. He didn't believe in God properly. And he was rich. And he didn't care nothing about life. Nothing. This one man. And this is not a Bible story. This is an actual event that happened on this earth when Christ was here. It's not no makeup story. There ain't no purgatory. There's a hell and there's a lake of fire. Hell and the lake of fire is a different spot. The lake of fire is where liquid brimstone. And hell is an apartment where all the wicked dead, all the wicked dead, all the unsaved, all the lost, all the wicked men that ever lived that defied and tried to dethrone all the atheists and the agnostics and the liars and the prostitutes and the whoremongers and all them goes to hell. They're in hell now. Every time somebody dies, today, tomorrow, the next day, they die without Christ, they go to hell. That's it. It's heaven or hell. Follow peace with all men and what? Holiness. For without no man shall see the Lord. So that's scripture. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Sanctification is a must and is necessary. You've got to be sanctified. You've got to be set apart from sin. And the only thing that can set you apart from sin is the blood of Jesus Christ by faith. You know you're a sinner. You know you ain't right. You've got to repent and believe on him. Oh, yeah, I believe, but you got to believe on me from your heart. So what you got Revelation telling us that the 144,000 preached the gospel. After they got through preaching the gospel for the 3.5 years, there's a great multitude. Now listen to what it said. It said, and one of the elders asked and said to me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And when did they come? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. You know who they are. And he said, well, who are these? He said, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white. Uh-oh, look at that. Washed their robes and made them white in what? In the blood of what? The Lamb. Not in the blood of the preacher, not in blood of the pope, not in blood of the deacon, not in blood. Nobody's blood ain't worth nothing. There's no deliverance in man's blood. The animal blood, it was the closest thing that came to a certain point for the blood of Jesus Christ. But that was not good enough because it was an animal. It was not a human being. It would take a human being to redeem mankind. And God was the only one all by himself that was capable of becoming human. And when he became human, he had a blood system. And that blood system comes from God because God had his own blood system. And that blood was pure. That blood was righteous. That blood was powerful. That blood was undefiable. The only thing that could eliminate sin in your soul. And he said, they have washed their robe. Their robe. What you mean robe? Their robe. Your soul is a robe. And in order for you to get, I don't know how to say it. In order for you to even get close to heaven, the only heaven you will see is maybe a little bit here, may have a little identified, look like heaven a little bit. But the only way you can get to heaven, for sure realization, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Some of this generation have took the hymn book and put it under a rock. Because they don't sing hymns no more. They don't sing about the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't sing about the cross no more. They don't sing about there's room at the cross. There's room at the cross. Millions have came, but there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Down at the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. I survey the cross. They don't sing no more. Why? Because, number one, the devil knows that the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can save mankind. And if he can keep you away from the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and get you to deny him and reject repentance of sin and wash you through the blood. If he can get you away from that and get you to deny that and refuse that, he got you, buddy. He got you like a man in a vice. He got you wrapped up. But the minute you make towards the cross, he gets scared. He starts shaking like a boat, a jello. He's afraid of the blood of Christ. He runs from the blood of Christ. He cannot handle the blood of Christ. That's why he sacrificed human beings. The Luciferians sacrificed little babies and adolescents, and they drank blood. That's the way he worshiped. And the more people do that, the more vile they get. And now we're in the age of now where demons are actually opening up the soul gates of humanity. And demons are actually living inside of people. And you can see the devil in the streets today. You can see the devil in churches today. You can see the devil just about everywhere. You got a whole lot of mess going on. And the devil says, if I can keep these folks in a awe and keep them until the time comes in which it's found in the book of Revelation, in the 13th chapter of Revelation, if I can keep them to the point where I can get control of the whole world, I can get control of the economical system, the political system, the religious system, I get control of that, and I'll get this year number of the mark of the beast coming up. And that's what's coming up in the world today. The mark of the beast is here. They already got the situation well in hand. They're making computer chips. They're making all kinds of ways to brand the human race. And Satan says, once I get the people deceived, then he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And he's going to do it in the middle of the tribulation period. And how he going to do it? This is how he's going to do it. Revelation in the middle of the tribulation. The Antichrist will be killed, shot through the head with a deadly wound. Gonna kill the man.
And in the 12th chapter, he says, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. There's going to be a galactical divine empire strike back. Demons are going to fight against Michael and his angels, and the devil is going to fight with Lucifer, and the red dragon is going to fight against his angels, and Lucifer is going to be cast out of heaven. Well, where is he at? Where he at now? He's the prince power of air. He's in the first and second heaven. He rules in high places. He rules in the government. He rules in the religious system. He rules. Because he's the god of this world. He's the god of this age. He's been the god of this age for 6,000 years. He's trying to rule and take over the earth. And God said, I'm going to give you a little bit. I'm going to give you an opportunity at the last 7 years. You're going to have full control of planet earth. But when they shoot this Antichrist in the head, who kill him, dead, in the morgue, we're going to kill him. And he's going to lay in the morgue for 3 days. Oh, yeah. Duplicate. Duplicate. Everything God has, Satan wants to be a copycat. God got a throne. The devil said, I got one too. Devil got false preachers and false prophets. God said, I got true prophets. The devil said, I got a choir. God said, I got a choir. Everything that God has divinely, righteously, the old devil comes with the old sloppy copycat. This Antichrist is going to lay dead in the morgue, probably in Jerusalem, because that's where Jesus Christ was resurrected. Satan is going to lay his Antichrist down. He's going to see to it that he be killed. He's going to be dead for 3 days, same way Jesus does. 3 days and three nights. Because you're not considered dead until the fourth day. So Jesus Christ came back from the grave on the third day. Satan said, I'm going to do the same thing. While Michael casts out these demons, these devils, there's a whole lot of them up there in the first and second heaven. The third heaven, he no longer has access. He's going to be cast to the earth. When he's cast to the earth, he's going to head for the Antichrist, and he's going to incarnate himself inside of his body. The devil, Beelzebub, Lucifer, Satan, the red dragon, the tempter, the god of this age, is going to incarnate himself inside of the Antichrist. Antichrist, and he becomes the beast. And when he becomes the beast, he is going to tell the world. He's going to desecrate the temple of the Jewish rituals. He's going to remove the Ark of the Covenant, which is a God's Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. It was God, where God dwelleth at. He's going to take the Ark of the Covenant and desecrated, abomination, desolation. He's going to set in a place where the Ark of the Covenant and consider himself to be God Almighty. Where did you get that, preacher? I got it from Thessalonians. Let's see what Apostle Paul said about this man. He says about this man in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 2 chapter. Listen to what it said. Woo! This is where the devil deceives the world. The biggest lie in the beginning was in the Garden of Eden. But this lie that he's going to bring forth now is the biggest lie of all lies to all eternity. The lie is he's going to tell the world that it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was killed and nailed to a cross. The Antichrist will be shot, lay in the morgue for 3 days and three nights. Jesus Christ laid in the grave 3 days and three nights. Third day, Jesus Christ got up out the grave on his own power. The Antichrist is energized, incarnated. The devil enters him and raises him from the dead. When he raised from the dead, he tells the world, I am God Almighty. You hear what I'm saying now? Listen to what I'm saying. He's going to resurrect the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to become the beast. And he's going to be resurrected by the dragon. And when he gets up out the grave, he's going to tell the world, I am God Almighty. I'm going into the Jewish temple. I'm going to desecrate the temple. I'm going to remove the Ark of the Covenant. I'm going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem, and I'm going to rule the world. I'm going to get the image of the beast and the false prophets. The false prophet. Who is the false prophet? The Pope is a false prophet that's going to prophesy the world and tell the world that this man is God Almighty. Worship him, and they're going to have an image of the beast in the temple that's going to speak. Half human, half robot. I don't know how it is, but it's gonna be powerful, because this is what the devil gonna use the computer, amen, to monitor people. And the image of the beast is gonna say, with an executive order and a decree, that he's gonna start a marking system that's gonna mark people on their forehead or on the back of their hands. And whoever will not receive the mark of the beast will be executed by guillotines. My friends, America right now has 60,000 guillotines and more to come. And who's behind all this? Luciferians, the secret societies, the governments, United States, is working behind the secret society. Barack Obama, 2014 and 15, ordered 60,000 guillotines and brought them to the United States. And they're in the States now. They got coffins. They done dug graves out there in the Middle East. They got 800 FEMA camps. And when the Great Tribulation comes, America is going to fall under a great slaughterhouse. People are going to lose their lives for the cause of Christ. And majority of the world, listen to what I'm saying, majority of the world is going to what? They are going to accept the mark of the beast because of this coronavirus, because they're already making plans to make this coronavirus mandatory to get vaccination before you can go anywhere. But they ain't going to work. It's going to come up to the last minute where it's going to be able to control everything on this planet, and you won't be able to buy or sell or buy a car or own a house or go to the bank. You ain't going to be able to do nothing for those that's going to be left here. It's going to be train cars full of people, trucks hauling them to the slaughterhouse. And people who are caught, they're going to have one alternative. Two alternatives. Receive the law and go ahead and live a little pleasurable for 3.5 years. But if you will, if you receive the mark of the beast and you receive the number of his name, and you let them put that computer chip inside your body, once it's inside your body, your soul is damned forever. You cannot repent if you receive the mark of the beast. If you refuse the mark of the beast, then you will be beheaded by the guillotine for the faith that you will have in Jesus Christ. If you don't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're going to receive the mark. Once you receive the mark, your soul is damned forever in eternity because you have rejected the blood of Christ, the slain lamb before the foundation of the world, the lamb that was slain for our sin. You rejected. You had an opportunity to receive it, but once you received that mark, the coronavirus ain't nothing compared to what's getting ready to hit this planet. The devil
is going to come down here and rule and reign for 3.5 years. UFOs and flying objects and aliens are not really aliens. They're demons. They're demons. They're demons. They're Nephilims. They are wicked angels. And the world is going to see the horrible judgment of God Almighty up on the planet for those that reject the loving Christ, the one that suffered, that you don't have to go through this, or that you can go through it. No way God going to put you in hell. You put yourself in hell. You send your own self to hell. Because God don't have no other way. God don't have no other way. This is impossible for God to find another sacrifice. Only one sacrifice. If you miss heaven, if you miss heaven, which I don't want you to miss, I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to have to suffer eternity for your own sin. If you miss heaven and you go to hell, you're going to wish that you never was born. And if you go to hell, you're going to miss everything that God had prepared for you because you refused to submit yourself under the mighty hands of God Almighty and recognize he is who he say he is. He is some majestic one, and God is nothing but love. Nothing but love. Nothing but love. But he don't love sin. He's not going to tolerate it. He's not going to put up with it. That's why he died and took my punishment, that I won't have to go to hell. And here you are, thinking you going to hell without going to that cross that he died and suffered on. You can't go to heaven. My friends, you just can't go. Listen to what the devil going to do. Listen to this. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, be ye not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Christ is at hand right now. Third verse says, let no man deceive you. Don't let no man make a fool out of you. Don't let demons and devils make a fool out of you. Don't let your friend make a fool out of you. Let no man deceive you by any means. Don't take nothing from him. If it ain't coming from the word of God. If it ain't coming from the word of God, don't you believe it. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Except that day won't come except there be a falling away. There's going to be a great falling away at the end time. The last 3.5 years is going to be a great falling away. People are going to fall away from the cross, the greatest falling away that ever hit this planet. They are going to believe that this false Christ is true Christ. And they're going to accept this mark. Bible says, and all the world will wonder after the beast. They're going to go hog wild over this false Messiah. They're going to go hog wild over the devil's plan to deceive the world. And he is going to deceive them. Because only a few going to make it in. Only a few is going to catch on and know what's going on and deceive Christ. And I know there's going to be a great number. There's going to be a great number in the tribulation period. Great number. And no man can know. That's going to receive Christ. Thank God for the Jew
Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for who he is. For he is so much love. And I'm in love with him right now. I'm in love with him like a woo. I love him so much because, number one, he first loved me. And he loves you. You don't have to go that route. I'm not looking for no fame. I'm not looking for no glory. I'm not looking for nothing to try to think I'm something, because I'm telling you, I'm just a child of God trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody that want to come to him and bow down and say, thank you, Jesus. UFOs, demonic demons. This is what it says. The man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. This Antichrist is perdition. He perdition before the foundation of the world. This is the Antichrist. This is what it says. After he'd been resurrected from the dead. It says in 2 Thessalonians 4 verse, it says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. That if there's any God, is any God other than this here false God, he wants to exalt himself above the God of gods and the Lord of hearts, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wants to exalt himself above it. So he sits in the temple and he said, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So this Antichrist will become God. Faith God, exalted above God. He started that mess in heaven. 6,000 years ago, he started that mess. He wanted to take the throne of God and put God in hell. Ain't that, you know, you got to be crazy. He wanted to dethrone God and take all that God made by himself, didn't need nobody, and dethrone him and take God's place and rule the universe. He's a lying one because he's going down. Isaiah said, he said in his heart, I will exalt myself above stars of God. I will be like the Most High. I will sit in the sides of the north, and I will be God. But he cannot be God. He's a created cherubim. And he fell eternally, cannot be redeemed, and he's headed for hell. And he wants to take you, your mama, your daddy, your sister. He wants to take your dog and your cat. He wants to take your baby. He wants to take everything to hell with him, because he is no way coming back. And this is what it says. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, this Apostle Paul, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth he that he might be revealed in the last time? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. What is the writer talking about? The writer talking about Jesus Christ, speaking to Apostle Paul. When this Antichrist come, it's a mystery. He's mysterious. He's secretive. And he's going to do what? He is going to be revealed after he be taken out of the way. What you mean? He, after the church be taken out of the way. The Antichrist will be revealed, because what's restraining the Antichrist from coming now is the church. The Antichrist cannot appear on the scene, on the news, on the internet, on NBC, ABC, CBS. He cannot appear on the scene until the rapture of the church, when the Holy Ghost that's inside of the church or the body of Christ will be removed. Some people say, teach that the Holy Ghost is going to be removed from earth. Well, that's a lie. The Holy Ghost will still be here. Well, here, Apostle Paul writing about
the Holy Spirit inside the body of the church. That's your temple, my temple. So when the church is removed, then the Antichrist will come, because there won't be no restrainer to stop him from coming. So now he's restrained. So after the church, he's going to come on the scene, and he's going to tell the world on a false peace platform that I will be able to bring peace to the earth. He will tell the world that he is Jesus. The Jews will accept him as the true Messiah, but he's a fake Messiah. He will make a covenant, confirm a covenant that the nations of the world and promised the Jewish people that he will protect them for 7 years. He will protect them. The Abraham Accord that's coming up pretty soon. That the nations will join with the Antichrist and make a vow or a covenant that he will protect them, and the Jews will accept that. And they will start the old sacrificial offering up again from the Old Testament times, in which God said that's no longer in use. I don't need animals no more. The animals is done. When Christ came back from the grave on resurrection morning, the animal sacrifices were done. No more animals have to die, but the Jews are trying to bring it back and then try to accept this false Christ as being the true Messiah. They will be fooled, but God is going to open their eyes, and it's going to be revealed to them that he is not the true Christ. And a remnant of Israel shall be saved. God is going to make sure that the world hears the gospel around the world before the 7-year tribulation is up. Because after the 144,000 be redeemed from the earth, God's going to send 2 dynamite witnesses, 2 men from the Old Testament realm. 2 men that had the power to shut up heaven and cause it not to rain for 3.5 years. And there's only 1 man in the whole Bible that did that. And that was Elijah. Elijah will come back. And then he said another one will come back that had power enough to turn water to blood and bring plagues up on the earth. And only 1 man did that in the Old Testament. That was Moses. So it will be Moses and Elijah that will bring the last 3.5 years to preach the gospel to the world. A lot of people have a quotation and a confusion with that. They say, well, how do you know it was Moses and Elijah? Well, it was Moses and Elijah that went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. I saw Moses in the 17th chapter of St. John, I think that's in. I seen Moses and Elijah stand up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And when I saw Moses and Elijah, they were talking about things pertaining to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So these 2 men would be a witness for Jesus Christ. In the 11th chapter of Revelation, you find the 2 witnesses at the temple site. These men did not fulfill their ministry in the Old Testament. Elijah ran away from Jezebel until he got so discouraged, he told the Lord, I want to die. So the Lord said, all right, I'm not going to let you die, but I'm going to catch you up in a fiery chariot and bring you on to glory. And he buried Moses on top of Mount Nebo, because he did not let Moses go into the land of Canaan
that was thrown with milk and honey because Moses got upset with the children of Israel. And he smote the rock two times, and God was not pleased. He told them to smote it one time. Why? Why did God get upset over that? He got upset of that because that rock that he smote it represented Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was smoted, filleted, fed upon, kicked, hung, nailed, bled, died. One time. And Moses disobeyed God and smote the rock two times, which defiled the death of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is not coming back down here, no, to be killed again. No. He ain't coming no more. He's coming this time to judge. He's not going to wear no dirty robe. He's not going to put no crown of thorns on his head. Ain't nobody going to be able to lift their tongues at him. You be the Son of Man. He ain't going to do that no more. That's done. He ain't going to whip him no more. The second time he comes, he's coming dressed in a royal diadems with a golden girdle wrapped around and a name on his thigh that no man knew but him. Wait a minute. Let me get that for you. See, we just talk about the temple, the Antichrist sitting in the temple. And he's going to desecrate the temple. When something comes to Jesus Christ, it's found in Revelation, when Jesus Christ comes back with the church. Now, this is the second coming of Jesus Christ. At the beginning of the tribulation period, that was the first phase of the second coming of Jesus Christ, of the rapture of the church. After the rapture of the church goes to heaven, stands before the judgment seat, bema seat of Jesus Christ, and be judged for the works that they have done here on earth. All the saints. You hear what I say? All the saints. Not all the ain'ts. All the saints will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And then after the judgment seat of Christ and the Lamb's Supper, we're coming back to earth with Jesus Christ. And when we come back to earth, we're coming back in glory. Brand new. Sparkling white. Listen to what John saw. And what John saw was the most glorious event that hits the planet. The glorious event where it's going to be so glorious that men's going to cry out to the mountains and hills and rocks and run and hide and pray to the mountains and the hills and say, rocks and hills, fall on us, hide us from the one that set us on the throne. God is going to open up the sky, and let's see what it says in Revelator. It says, and I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. He's coming back to fight against sin, against the transgression of mankind, against the rebellion of man, against the depravity of sin they have done against God Almighty. He said, Faithful and true and in righteous he doth judge and make war. His eyes like flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vest dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. I'm going to hold right there in that 14th verse. It says, and the armies, what's on? The church. That's the army. When
did you get enlisted? If you've been born again, you was enlisted. You got a changed life. You're God's body right now. And you were born into the army. And so now you're a soldier. That's why Apostle Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier. And so when we come back, when the church come back, not no Baptist, not the Presbyterians, not the Catholic, no. Not my church, not your church, but the blood-washed church. Listen to what it said. The armies would follow him up on white horses. So we're going to be riding on white horses. We were coming back on a white stallion. Millions and Madrids of horses will come back from heaven. And it says, in fine linen, white and clean. White and clean. Nothing defiled. Nothing. No spot, no blemish, no wrinkle. Undefiled. Clean, perfect. No stain, no nothing, not even a speck of dust or nothing. White and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. And with it, he shall smite the nations. You hear that? He's going to smite the nations because the nations of the world don't want Jesus to come back. The nations of the world do not want the black nation, the white nation, the Chinese nation, the Russian, they don't want Jesus Christ to come back. Don't you come back up in here. The devil's trying to tell God, don't you come back. Don't you bring nobody. He said, you came up here and I slayed you through the human race and killed you, nailed you to the cross. You came back from the grave. You messed up my thing. Now here you come again. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to meet you. I'm going to meet you and your white horses and your army at the Battle of Armageddon. I know you're coming, but I'm trying to get the human race to see that you're not really going to come and you really ain't going to judge the world. You're going to let it go. But most of the people believe, the devil got most people believe Jesus Christ ain't going to judge the world. He's going to judge it all right. But the only thing that held him back was mercy and grace until one day he said, it is done. It's finished. And the church is going to split the sky. And Jesus Christ is going to come back and fight the battle of Armageddon. Every man-made nation army will meet the Lord God Almighty and the church at the Battle of Armageddon in Jerusalem. It's going to be the bloodiest battle that ever hit the planet, putting all World War I and II and all the wars that ever fought against the human race. He's going to slay the armies and the captains and the lieutenants and the Illuminati and all that group. He's going to slay them till the blood run up to the horse's body for over 200 miles. And his vessel is going to dip in the blood and he's going to tread the wine press alone. He's coming back, church. The world is on his last leg. You might not have but a few more hours, a few more days, a few more months, a few more years. But it's so close now that people got stigmatism. They can't even see it. You need Jesus Christ tonight. You need Jesus Christ tonight. Don't let nobody fool you. I got this information straight from the Word of God. But before, let me tell you this, before the second coming of Jesus Christ comes, the church has to be removed. And 7-year tribulation. And then Christ is going to come back. He's going to come back at the end of the prophetic prophets that will preach for 3.5 years. And after the 3.5 years is over, these prophets are going to be killed and laid in the streets for 3.5 days. And the world, listen to what I'm saying, the world is going to witness these two witnesses laying in the street by television, internet, Facebook, Instagram, every sophisticated state-of-the-art communication, the world is going to see these men lay in the streets for 3 days and 3 1/2 days. And on the end of the 3 1/2 days, they're going to be resurrected, and they're going to ascend into heaven. And shortly after that, Christ is going to come back with power and great glory. Revelation 1 and 7, behold, he coming with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And those that see him and those that pierce him shall wail. A whole lot of wailing going to be going on. People are going to be crying beyond tears. You talking about Fright Night? You ain't seen nothing yet for the wicked. Fright Night is coming. Don't be caught in it. You can take all the movies that Hollywood has made and put them together. It ain't going to be nothing compared to when Christ split this sky. Hallelujah! Praise our God from whom all blessings flow. This is Elder Bazaar, Watchman on the Wall. The centerfold of my life, the centerfold of the human family, the centerfold of the Bible is the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. That's the centerfold of my life. Without that, I'm a lost, undone sinner. But through that, can become a saint of God. And I'm one saint of a quadrillion billion saints other than me. One quadrillion billion billion billion. Heaven is going to be wonderful and hell is going to be full. Don't go to hell. Come to Jesus Christ. This is Elder Bazaar, Watchman on the Wall, End Time Ministry. God so loves you so much, brother, sister. I hope you got something from this. I hope you was inspired by this. Read your Bible. It'll tell you in there. Read Revelation. Read Thessalonians. All that's going on in the world today is all of it. All of it's in the Bible. All the diseases, everything, earthquakes, pestilence, diseases, killing, murder, police brutality, public, it's a mess. It's so much of a mess that, man, it's going to take Jesus Christ to come to get it straightened out, because he's going to have to eliminate a whole lot of people, a whole lot of liars and backbiters and haters of righteousness, a whole lot of people, black people, white people, Jews, Gentiles, and he don't want to do it, but time is running out. My heart is heavy. I want to see somebody come in. I hope somebody got the message tonight. God is a long-suffering God. He's a long-suffering God. He's a patient God. And he's working with all kind of people today. This coronavirus brought in a lot of souls. A lot of people are seeing things that they never seen before. This coronavirus, it ain't nothing compared to what's coming. You need Jesus Christ to escape the wrath of the Almighty. I'll close with this, Romans 10 and 9. If you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. S-A-V-E-D. That's it. Repent. With godly sorrow, you're sorry that you sinned against the Holy God. And the Holy God loves you so much, he's going to give you an opportunity to receive his son, Jesus Christ, and sanctify your soul so that when the rapture comes, you can be gone on to glory with a new body. Never, never, never to have any contact with sin no more. For everlasting, you shall be with the Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' name, I pray for this summer. And somebody may come to Jesus Christ. Come now. Only thing you got to say, Lord God Almighty, I confess with my mouth. I repent of my sins. And I believe with all my mind, heart, and soul that you died for me. Save my soul now in Jesus' name.